So we did chapters 20, 21, 22, okay? So we're still in the Southern Ocean. And this chapter, to some degree, it follows the same vein as the last chapters. It's directly speaking about Krishna. Now just for a recap, just to get a context of how this comes in the Nectar of Devotion. So we describe, we just describing directly about Krishna and his qualities and pastimes. As here, first we read the story of Krishna being disguised as a boatman, yeah, and undisguised, fully manifest. Yeah. And then we describe qualities in relationship to that, Krishna's fully manifest feature. Yeah. And then we describe the 64 qualities. 50, the human can possess in minute quality. 55, Lord Shiva and Brahma. 60, Lord Narayan. And then Krishna has 4 particular qualities, which only he has. That's Lila Madhurya. Oh, not connected up. So you should have told me, we're going for this life, not there. You know, so let's just get this up. Shankun. Marit's asking for a password. Do you know the password for this? Let's have a recap on these 4 before we head further. Lila Madhurya, Krishna hears unique sweet pastimes. What makes a person sweet is his submission to those who love him. Yeah? Submission to those who love him. Yeah? In that sense, no other form of Krishna, no other form of Godhead has pastimes as sweet as Krishna. Because Krishna is kind of completely submissive to the love of his devotees. That makes it sweet. Yeah? He's very submissive to the love of his devotees, like for example Mother Yasoda. Very submissive, which is a different mood than Lord Narayan, etc. Yeah? Thus, among all the Lord's pastimes, Lord Ram, Lord Narsingadev, you know, the pastimes which exhibit where Krishna is submissive to love most is in Vrindavan. He's submissive to Arjuna in the sense that he, the charioteer, but the extent which Krishna is completely sold out and puts himself in the hands of his devotees cannot be compared to Vrindavan. Yeah? He's like a dancing puppet in the hands of the gopis and Mother Yasoda. So among all the Lord's pastimes, Vrindavan is the sweetest. So, among all Vrindavans, all the pastimes in Vrindavan, the most celebrated pastime where Krishna complete is Rasleela. So there he exhibits to the fullest extent submission to his devotees. He's exhibited, is set in the Rasleela. So Leela Madhurya, possessed by Krishna and Krishna only. Then we have Prema Madhurya. So you have a jewel. When it's in the gold ring, it brings out the jewel even more. Yeah? Becomes very attractive. So a person is more enchanting when he's surrounded by those who love him or her, his most intimate friends. They shine out. Yeah? When they're in the group of family, they really at home and they shine out. So the Vajrasi's love for Krishna is unmatched. So surrounded by them, Krishna shines the most brightly. Yeah? And it's got the zenith of all sweetness, Krishna fully manifest in the Rajlila pastimes. Yeah? So they love Krishna the deepest. Yeah? And of all of them, the gopis is the best. Yeah? And of all of them, Radharani. So thus Krishna is the most attractive form of the Lord with Srimati Radharani on his left. Yeah? So so here's a quote here.
Leela Madhura and then Prema Madhura are the same description. Uniquely sweet. Oh, sorry, the original
thing. Very sweet devotees, yeah? So this is one of the gopis, they lament, my dear Krishna, during the daytime when you go to the forest of Vrindavan with your cows, we consider to be one moment to be like 12 years or more. And again, when you come back at the end of the day, by seeing your beautiful face, we are so much attracted that we cannot stop looking at you constantly. No, you know, at these times, when there is occasional blinking of the eyes, we condemn the creator Brahma as a dunce. He does not know how to make perfect eyes. So Krishna's Prema Madhurya, he's surrounded by devotees who possess a sweet, a very deep attraction for him. You know? Then we have Veena Madhurya. Yeah? One of my favorite pictures of Krishna.
Yes.
So no one can compare to Krishna's. Oh, it's a shame I don't have that. Actually, I do have that description here. Let's read that.
Let me see how to find it. It's a beautiful.
Give me 1 minute. I'll try and find a beautiful description. Krishna's flute. Pause this. How do you press pause? Or just. Ahem. Still recording. Okay, so we come out of here then. We finished then. That was chapters 20, 21 and 22. Now we're going to have a look at chapters 23 and 24. Again, this continues. So this continues to the description of Vibhava, Vishaya, Krishna as the stimulation of love. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So Rupa Goswami, he mentions there's three gradations. Oh, it's disappeared, is it? Oh, it's not this bit, I just have a press play. Okay. For Krishna's personality. So Krishna manifests in three degradations, in three gradations of fullness. So when he's in Goloka, Vrindavan, he's most perfect. Everything's exhibited in fullness. So the competition begins now. So he's in fullness. In Goloka, he exhibits, he manifests his qualities in fullness in Goloka. They're considered to be most perfect. When he is in Dwarka, considered to be very perfect. So he's never imperfect. He's most perfect in Goloka Vrindavan. In Dwarka, he's very perfect. And in Mathura, he is perfect. So we have most perfect, very perfect, and perfect in regards to manifesting his sweetness. The most perfectly manifested in Goloka Vrindavan.
Mathura, he's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Most perfect.
Yeah, most perfect, very perfect, and perfect. Now, having said that, this takes need to understand this myself. Rupa Goswami says, although Krishna is the reservoir of unlimited pleasure, and he's the greatest person of all, he remains dependent on his devotees in three ways. So the next slide we'll look at. So he's most perfect, again, repeating, he exhibits himself in fullness in Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah? So I just read from here because I need to understand this myself. According to the emotional status of a devotee, the supreme personality of God is appreciated in three ways. So the pious status of devotee, again, is here. Krishna is most dependent on these devotees here. He puts the most dependent in Goloka Vrindavan. And then to a lesser degree in Mathura, and still less in Dwarka. So his transcendental qualities are most perfect in Goloka, in Mathura very perfect, and in Dwarka, perfect. Yeah, I got the other way around. So we've got best, medium, and if you want, in inferior. Okay? So now, there's been a continued description of Krishna's personality. We heard his qualities.
Yes.
So there's a subtle difference between qualities and personality. So from the qualities manifests a specific personality. So this chapter will go on to describe Krishna's personality. So, So besides the 64 qualities, there's another stimulus for ecstatic love, is Krishna's personality. So Rupa Goswami, he describes 4 classical types of heroic personalities. Now normally, these four classical types of personality, someone possesses one or the other. You're either this personality, you're either that personality, or that type of personality, or this type of personality. Krishna exhibits all types of personality. Yeah? See, I agree as well. So, Mother Urmila often speaks on this subject. Urmila Mataji, she gives classes on this. So the first one is Dhirodatta. I'll just give the titles and then we'll elaborate more. Yeah. So noble. Another one is Deva Lalita. Means
dear is sober, right?
Romantic here. Deva Prashanta.
Peaceful.
And Deva Datta. Hoiti. Hoiti. You know what this word hoiti means?
No.
Means a little bit proud, a little bit arrogant. Yeah?
Very interesting. It's very attractive to be like that a little bit though, sometimes. You see in the modern world, you know, these celebrities and movie stars, they're a bit puffed up, you know? People like that.
Yeah, it has an attractiveness to it.
It's the opposite of low self-esteem.
Yeah. But they take it to, it's all very material, it's all very, it's not at all spiritual.
I guess someone who's a bit haughty, you can almost trust them because they have some confidence in what they're doing. Someone who's just kind of...
So Krishna can be very haughty at some times. And we give different pastimes where he exhibits these different personality traits. So in other words, the question asked here, how can a personality be of 4 quite opposite ways? Is it schizophrenic or something? The answer is the laws of the reservoir of all qualities is coming from him. Therefore his different aspects can be analysed according to his different pastimes. He will manifest these different traits of personality. So there's no contradiction as such. And some of them. So then, each of these then. The first one, Dhirodatta. The person who is very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous and physically attractive.
I've been reading all these qualities, they're quite contradictory.
Yeah, that's what. But all contradictions are solved in the personality of Krishna.
Yes, yes.
All contradictions are solved in the personality of Krishna. Because he is the reservoir of all qualities. So, there's a statement from Lord Indra in this regard, which is a description of Dhirodatta.
Yeah.
Let's try and it's competition. My dear Lord, I admit I have committed a great offence unto you, but I cannot express my feeling of regret, being bewildered at seeing your extraordinary chivalrous spirit. So chivalrous spirit, your endeavour to protect your devotees. So this is Lord Indra So he's speaking after he's trying to kill, you know, the Vatvasis and flood Vrindavan.
Yeah.
I cannot express my feelings of regret. I'm bewildered by seeing your extraordinary chivalrous spirit, your endeavor to protect your devotees, your determination, your steadiness in lifting Govardhan Hill, your beautiful bodily features, and your astonishing characteristics of being pleased simply accept the prayers of your devotees and offenders. So this is an exact corroboration of Dhirodatta, this verse by Lord Indra. Yeah? Some scholars have mentioned that Ramachandra has these same qualities. Yeah?
Yeah.
Very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, etc. Okay, next one is Deolalita. So this person is called Deolalita if they're naturally very funny. Something, you know, we might know devotees like that. Always natural. Always full in youthfulness, you know? Youthfulness. Expert in joking and free from anxieties, you know? Deolalita, specific personality. Yeah. So, mentioned here that such personality is generally, remember it was given, what was the term given in the beginning? Romantic. Yeah. So, Deolalita person is generally found to be domesticated and very submissive to his lover. Yeah. What does domesticated mean? Domesticated means well trained at home, no?
Yeah.
Very domesticated, like your pet dogs, very domesticated, very controlled. So this Deolalita trait in Krishna, it was says one of the Yagni Patni, one of the wives of the Brahmins, and we know that story, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, Krishna, the cowboys asked for charity, the Brahmins didn't give, they went to their wives, and they happily gave everything. So the wife of one of the Brahmanas, this one's a little bit confidential. This is here, I've started, so I'll have to read it. So, this is by one of the Yagni Pati. One day, she's telling her friends, she's speaking about Radharani. One day, Srimati Radharani, accompanied by associates, was taking rest in her garden. And at that time, Krishna arrived in that assembly. After sitting down, he began to narrate very imprudently about his previous night's pastimes with Radharani. While he was speaking in that way, Radharani became embarrassed. She was feeling the shame that was absorbed in thought. And Krishna took the opportunity to mark her breasts with different kinds of tilak. That's just here. Mark this top here, chest here. Krishna proved himself very expert in that art. So, Dhira Lalita. In this way, Krishna's Deolalita was enjoying his youthful proclivities in the company of the gopis. That's so romantic, yeah?
Yes.
So generally, persons who write dramas, they will describe Cupid as being Deolalita, yeah? But most perfectly, Krishna is the actual original Deolalita. Okay, next one is Dhira Prashanta. So, this person is very peaceful as well, is forbearing. and very considerate and obliging. So this is known as Dhira Prashanta. So this is examples given, he's dealing with the Pandavas. That's why I have this picture of the Pandavas, seeing Krishna. On account of the Pandavas' faithful devotion to the Lord, he agreed to become their charioteer, their advisor, their friend, their messenger, and sometimes their bodyguard. So, it's very obliging, very considerate. Sometimes Yudhisthira Maharaj is given as example of someone's Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prashanta, sorry, in that when he's explaining religious principles, he demonstrates himself as a learned scholar. But when Krishna was speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira, he demonstrated himself as a great learned scholar. But because he was the younger cousin of Yudhisthira, he was speaking in a very gentle tone, which enhanced his bodily features. So, Dhira Prashanta. Now, the next one, I'll explain how this picture matches. So, this is a person who's very proud, easily angered. Which is the opposite of being peaceful, no?
Yes, yes.
So remember, these qualities come out of specific pastimes. He's restless and so proud, anger, easily angered, restless and complacent. He's called Dhirodatta by learned scholars. So this character in Krishna, is seen when he wrote a letter to Kalayavana. Do you know that personality who Krishna chased, Krishna ran away from?
Yes.
That's Kalayavana. 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 So Krishna said here, let me see, I've got the letter itself here. Krishna, actually, this is a letter he writes to Kalayavana. Just paraphrasing here. So Krishna addressed him as a sinful frog. In his there he's being very haughty. In his letter, Krishna advised that Kalayavana that he should immediately go find some dark well for your residence. Because there was a black snake called Krishna who wanted to devour such sinful frogs as you. So Krishna reminded him that he could turn all the universes to ashes simply by looking at him. So this apparent statement of Krishna is speaking in apparently envious nature, you know? But according to the particular place and pastimes, Krishna would exhibit this type of personality. So it's accepted as a great characteristic, as Howard Norton was mentioning, sometimes people like, sometimes it's attractive, you know. So Krishna's Dhirodatta qualities are glorified because he uses them to protect his devotees. Yeah? So even, Prabhupada says that even undesirable traits may sometimes be used in devotional service. We should understand that very carefully. It doesn't give us excuses to act in all types of bondable ways. Sometimes even Prabhupada would exhibit such traits. You know, when he, just coming to mind now, do you know the whole pastime of the land in Mumbai, the near near. Eventually, he died of heart attack.
Yes, the day after he refused
to come back. Yeah, Prabhupada said, he said something really good.
Yeah.
But he was very affectionate to his wife. Who So sometimes the Bhima is very much dear or Tata.
Yes.
And sometimes the other Pandavas as well. So you had a point?
Yeah, it just makes me think, like on book distribution, sometimes we have to pull out these characteristics.
Yes.
So like, you know, one Prabhu was making the point the other day that, you know, we distribute books and we learn our Dharma and we teach others about their Dharma. But I was thinking about that, you know, we don't always, or I don't always know my Dharma. It takes time in pushing consciousness to learn your Dharma. But from the beginning, you start going out on books anyway. So you kind of trust the process as you go along. It's like, it's a double-edged sword. You learn and you go at the same time.
Yeah, learn to fly a plane while flying a plane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So if we go out on the street and we show all of our doubts and our challenges in Krishna consciousness and I didn't know about this, I'm tired, or, you know, it's not going to work. But we go out and we say, you know, I'm proud of Krishna consciousness, or, you know, you have to be a good salesman, you know. You say, this is the best product ever. And at the time, you might not feel that on that certain day, but you have faith that while you're doing, as you're doing the service, it will reveal itself.
Yeah, so in that sense, you can be, you're using perhaps proud, no? We're using
the
word. Prabhupada was he would walk very aristocratic, head held high, proud of his lineage, proud of what he was representing, proud of serving his guru. So, it's good for him. So.
I remember one quote I like that said, people buy into the person before they buy into the idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how politicians work all the time, isn't it?
And there's other, there's quite a bit here, but we don't have time to read them all. So there's the four personality traits which is covered there. And according to the pastime, Krishna will exhibit any one of these personality traits here. It's not contradictory because Krishna is a reservoir of all qualities. So that was chapter 23. So chapter 24, Rupa Goswami, goes further traits of Krishna, okay? So after describing the different opulences, Rupa Goswami tries to further the transcendental beauty and qualities of the Lord, as decorated, he mentions one. It's decorated. Like someone who's decorated by their country. They're decorated. Doesn't mean he's got wallpaper. It said a person, if he's decorated with the qualities of being very merciful towards the unfortunate, very powerful, superior, chivalrous, enthusiastic, Varuna's mentioning, expert and truthful, decorated person. So these were manifest during his Govardhan Leela. So the first four, Krishna here described the nectar devotion, that when Indra started to inundate Vrindavan with rain, Krishna's first thought was, let me destroy his kingdom. Let me destroy Indraprastha. That was Krishna's first thought. Let me retaliate this vengeance of Indra. But then he thought of Indra as the insignificant, not described here. So he changed his mind and he felt merciful towards him. His first instinct was, you can destroy Vrindavan, okay, I'm going to destroy him. But then he felt merciful to him. So instead of retaliating against Indra, he showed his compassion for his friends and lifted Govardhan Hill to protect them, you know? So being merciful towards the unfortunate, very powerful, superior, chivalrous, enthusiastic, expert and truthful. Everyone's okay?
Yes.
After Bashadi makes his if you want, you can do some exercises. Next one is enjoying. So the person enjoying, they seem to be happy. There's a statement, I was in America recently, they have if someone says, how are you? The reply will be, living a dream, man, living a dream. That's classic. Living a dream, man. So someone's always seem to be happy and accustomed to speak smilingly. This is enjoying.
Yeah.
So that's exhibited by Krishna. So this was exhibited when he appeared in the wrestling ring of Kamsa. He was just simply enjoying. It wasn't as if he was in any anxiety at all at the strength of Chanura and Mustika and Kamsa. He said that Krishna, he described that lotus-eyed Krishna entered among the wrestlers and he wasn't impolite to them, he was very respectful. And he glanced over them with determination. And he seemed to them like an elephant attacking some plants. So even when Krishna was speaking to them, he was smiling. Yeah? In this way, he valiantly stood on the wrestling dais, you know? Be wonderful to see that, no? Wonderful to see Krishna. It depends on the relationship, but wonderful to see Krishna wrestling with the horses then.
Yeah, but I was reading the descriptions and I was thinking, how do I understand this? And it was Radhalal Nishpura Prabhu who said he used to violent movies, gangster movies and stuff. And I was thinking, oh yeah, actually I used to love martial arts movies. So imagine the best martial arts movie with Bruce Lee or The Matrix or something and it's all stylized. Imagine Krishna doing that on the heads of Kaliya.
It all comes from Krishna. Krishna's the original superhero.
Yeah.
You can see how much Superman attracts the imagination of young children and things like that. Because such a person exists, you know? That's Krishna. So Krishna, when he's dragging Kamsa down from his dais and punching him in the face, I think, he's smiling at the same time. He's simply enjoying
it.
He's simply enjoying it. So again, pleasing is repeated again. So Rupa Goswami again speaks this one. His characteristics are very sweet and desirable. It's called pleasing. So, okay, let's have some train competition against the music. One day, while Krishna was awaiting the arrival of Radharani, so he's waiting for Radharani to come? He's by the banks of the Yamuna. So while he's waiting, he's making a garland of Kadamba flowers. So in the meantime, Radharani comes. At that time, Krishna glanced over Radharani very sweetly. So he's waking, he's waiting for her, he's making a garland, and he sees her, and he looks at her very sweetly.
It's so sweet.
He has the most romantic
person ever. Yeah, yeah. Totally, the comic life that from this home, where's my dinner? She hasn't cooked anything.
Yeah, it's a fact, huh?
It's a fact.
I remember when I was young, I don't know why I'm remembering this now, but when I was young, my mother was in hospital for some time, and was being looked after by her friend. You know? This is in East London, the Brocker Flats used to live. And that father, his main thing is to sit on the chair, watching the race horses making, and there's an old time thing where the mother, she would bring the food to him. And one day, I was very small, and one day she was rabbiting with the neighbours, you know, for a long time. And it was late. And she came in and he just...
He lost it.
And she lost it back. It's the first time I've seen such an argument in my life before, you know, screaming for hours, you know. Anyway, it's not like... But Krishna's dealing to... Krishna's very romantic, very sweet, so Krishna's very pleasing and dependable. So someone you can always rely on, that's Krishna, you can always rely on Krishna. Everyone else is fallible soldiers, children, husbands, wives, whatever. We can rely on them to a big degree. From his family members, but ultimately they're going to pass away. And there's no one else can save you, especially at the critical moment of death, than Krishna. And Krishna's our most dear friend, you know, Surit. So Krishna's always there for us to turn to. No matter what happens in our life, we can turn to Krishna. So Rupa Goswami mentions that even demons were relying upon the dependability of Krishna, because they were sure that Krishna wouldn't attack them unless there was a good cause. Interesting. So therefore, even the demons used to live with the doors wide open, described here. And the demigods were so afraid of the demons, were confident of the protection of Krishna. Even amidst of danger, they were engaged in sporting activities. So you get the idea of the atmosphere here?
Yes.
Nothing will happen without Krishna's direct, nothing will. They will not attack us unless we give them cause to.
Like the pastime, the cowherd boys going into the mouth of the snake.
I was thinking of that, I was just reading through this before at lunchtime. Yeah. You can tell that pastime?
There's a big
snake. Arishtasura, Agarsura.
Agarsura.
You could tell some pastime.
But, so there's a big fat snake called Agarsura, and he's lying in the middle of the forest, and all the cowherd boys and everyone are just enjoying and playing on their flutes and throwing their lunch bags between each other and singing and dancing and pretending to be peacocks. and they see this, there's a big cave! And they see this tea. And so they decide anyway, okay, let's go in because, you know, Krishna's with us, so we'll go in anyway. So they all start walking into the cave and there's a big smell anyway, and then they start to, I wonder where we are. And then Krishna realizes, they've gone into the mouth of the snake. But so they all go in because they know that Krishna's there, so they have no fear whatsoever. And in their minds, they think it's just another big game. And so Krishna decides, what will I do? So he follows them in, and then when the snake closes his mouth, then Krishna blows it up from the inside out.
Very nice. It's a nice Krishna Vrindavan cartoon about that. Yes. So Prabhupada also mentions here, persons who, we haven't engaged in any ritualistic ceremonies of the Vedas, but we're confident that Krishna, actually Krishna only accepts faith and devotion. So, in other words, all kinds of men, demigods down to uncultured, can rely on the causeless mercy of the Lord, Supreme Lord, The Lord is very merciful. So we take shelter of Him and He's very dependable. So Rupa Goswami describes in the form of the language, so steady. Let's see how many slides here. We're getting through quite quick. So a person who's not disturbed, even when there's reverses, is called steady. Steady devotional service. Even though there's reverses, even coming up within the heart, one continues to execute their duties in Krishna consciousness. That's known as nishtha, the steady. The impurities or the attachments which are there do not dissuade you from your Krishna conscious duties. One's called steady. So Krishna is known as steady in chastising a demon known as Bana. Banasura, he had many hands, I think, thousands, the story. And Krishna was cutting them off, one after another. Banasura, he was worshipped Lord Shiva and the goddess Durga. So when he was being chastised by Krishna, Lord Shiva and Durga became angry at Krishna. Krishna didn't care a fig for them. He kept on. He steadily continued. Examples given there. This is a picture I found of Krishna taking the palms of his arms. An old picture. Okay, then we have King Kamsa makes another appearance. Okay, so this is a verse by Sukadeva Goswami, to my friendship. Are you following there? Exactly?
Yeah.
Well done. Okay. Would you like to read? It says, my dear King Krishna. Do you have that verse there? You can read. Meticulous dresser, So this is a person who is very, fond of dressing themselves very nicely. It's called Lalita, or a meticulous dresser. So sometimes this was found in Krishna when he used to decorate Radharani with various marks. And sometimes when you're prepared to kill demons like Arishtasura, like here Arishtasura, he would take care to arrange his belt very nicely. Very, very meticulous dresser.
Lots of like children's cartoons pick up on these kinds of things. Like, I can't think of anyone specifically, but like, you know, you see it a lot, you know, evil personalities and stuff, you know, they always have perfectly coiffed mustaches and things, and they're always like, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Very, very comical.
Meticulous dresser. We have this one, what's his name? He's got the best beard in creation. He comes to the temple. He's always
quoting.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's very meticulous dresser.
But
he's very nice devotee. I always joke with him about his perfect beard. But Krishna is the best dresser. That's why as devotees we generally dress quite simple. We're not out, we don't dress. We dress, you know, in nice occasions. We can dress up, weddings, and then you can dress up, things like that. But generally we're not in competition with Krishna. Krishna is the best dresser. Who can dress like Krishna does? You know, beautiful garlands and turban and...
But at the same time, you can use it to attract others to Krishna consciousness.
For ourselves?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should dress neatly. And our Mai Guru Maharaj is very strict on this. When Mai Guru Maharaj, when we go see our Guru Maharaj, we have to iron our dress, we have to look very nice. If we don't...
Because he himself is so cockeyed and everything.
And he sees there's a very good preaching, making a good impression.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good point. We should...
Or even Maharaj. He's all about the creativity.
Yeah, he's the opposite. Different worlds apart.
Absolutely, especially with his clogs.
He's a walking piece of art.
He is, definitely.
That's a different attractive feature there.
Yeah.
As well,
good way of attracting people, just to stop and see.
Yeah.
And then give them a chance.
And then Krishna is finally in this chapter, not finally, but the last slide, magnanimous. So what does magnanimous mean then?
Merciful.
Huh?
Merciful,
something else?
Magnanimous.
Yeah, they can give themselves to anyone.
Yeah.
Magnanimous, a nice description.
Yeah.
Give themselves to anyone. So no one can be more than Krishna. So he's always ready to give himself to his devotees.
Yes, because if somebody gives you a very expensive gift, you say it's very magnanimous.
Let alone when they give themselves, they're ready to do anything for you. So we got it there, but Krishna is formed as Lord Chaitanya is mentioned. Is prepared to give himself and grant deliverance. Yeah? Just like I was travelling in some places in the UK, they have this beautiful diorama, Panchatattva. You know, one in Nottingham, one in Belfast, one in Wales. Are you familiar with this bas relief for Panchatattva? It's about this big, and it's got Lord Chaitanya's in this. Like that,
wow.
And the Panchatattva dancing, and he's like this, giving himself.
Where's that?
There's one in Belfast. There's one in Newcastle. There's one in Belfast, in Wales as well. From some
Let me see. No, Cardiff. We have a temple in Cardiff.
It's not there. It's in Swansea. It's not in Cardiff.
Swansea,
they have bas relief, Panchatattva. Cardiff, they have Dolita. I won't find it this year. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya is personification of magnanimity. Okay, so That was
23.
So we're doing quite well. You're reading through lots of the Nectar of Devotion today. A few chapters. So now we're going to
25. That was 24.
Yeah. That was 23 and 24?
24, yeah.
So now on 25.
Yeah.
Okay, it's taken some time to come up, hasn't it? There it is. Oh, it's dirt, so the road is a cushion. Okay, so let's stop at 3 o'clock, 10 minute break. Okay. So, chapters 20 to 24,
yeah.
This describe Krishna as the stimulus for ecstatic love. Yeah. 25, this chapter describes the devotees, the ashraya, the abode of love for Krishna, as a stimulus for ecstatic love. You follow?
Yeah.
So, the devotees now, as a stimulus for ecstatic love. So this gets a bit technical here. I'll try our best to follow. There's two subdivisions of devotees who stimulate ecstatic love for Krishna. Interesting. Interesting definition of a sadhaka here. It's kind of a humbling, good description of a sadhaka, because we've got some ways to go before we're actually considered sadhaka here. But sadhaka, so there's two subdivisions of devotees, okay? Sadhaka and siddha. We know these terms, yeah? So Prabhupada says these devotees can be classified into two groups. Those who are cultivating devotional service in order to enter into the transcendental kingdom. This sadhaka. And those who are already perfect, they're known as siddha. Yeah. So the definition given here by Rupa Goswami is a sadhaka is an advanced devotee. He's not just any practitioner. So in this context here, sadhaka is referring to a devotee on the level of bhava. Okay? Let's keep that in mind. Sadhaka can also refer to devotees at the lower stages, but here, Rupa Goswami is the context here that sadhaka is on the platform of bhava, or attraction for Krishna. They have an attraction for Krishna, but there's still impurities there. That's a sadhaka. Prabhupada says, the person who has attained attraction to Krishna but is not free from material impasses, but he's qualified himself or herself to enter at some point the kingdom of God through their continued practice, is called a sadhaka. So sadhaka means one who is cultivating devotion to Krishna. So in that sense, they're cultivating devotion. They're not motivated just by following the strictures of rules and regulations. They're actually cultivating love, which to some degree has aroused within them the state of bhava. They're actually cultivating that. So the stage of bhava, one sometimes has direct darshan of Krishna. Yeah. Bhava is compared to one ray of prema, of the sun of prema. When one ray touches the heart of the fortunate devotee, they become liberated from all their material conditioning, and they're transcendental to the modes of nature with just one ray of prema. And they can have glimpses of Krishna. Just like in a theater or a picture house, there's a film is showing, and someone who hasn't paid the amount to go in and sit, they may look through the, they may get a glimpse of what's going on. That's called bhava. When the doors open and you're sitting inside the pastimes, that's called prema. So stage of bhava, they receive direct darshan of Krishna periodically. That increases their bhava, but they've not attained prema. So they're not quite out of the material impasse. They're still connected materially to some degree. There's a nice verse here. Because I was cross-referencing with Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we may sometimes, hearing this description, we may kind of doubt our worth or our ability to attain that stage. But it's nice for us. Do not worry that after you have been drenched in tears arising from the river of the pastimes of the Lord, you will remain in the flame of suffering in the material world. When all the hairs of your limbs dance, then you will see very near, rising in the sky of your heart, the cloud of Krishna's form, full of the shower of mercy, which destroys the desire of liberation. Right? I like that verse, so I'll put it down. So the devotee at the stage of bhava, then, is called, the technical term, sadhaka ashraya alambana.
Right?
This is from Damodar Swami. Sadhaka ashraya and Siddha Ashraya is devotee of prema. They are the abode of pure love. Okay? So a Siddha, this is a definition of a perfect devotee, one who never falls, who's never susceptible. As one who never experiences any distress, always takes shelter of Krishna, and completely offers all his or her activities for the Lord's pleasure, and will always taste the happiness of uninterrupted prema. That's a siddha. Alright? So they always take shelter of Krishna, always, 24 hours a day, offers all their activities to Krishna for his pleasure, only act for his pleasure, and they always taste the happiness of uninterrupted loving, love for Krishna. Okay, what comes up next? So there are two categories of siddha, okay? Always perfect, and those who become perfect. So siddha means Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Shubala, you know, all the residents of Vrindavan. There's Nitya Siddha. Then you have the Sadhana Siddhas. They become perfect by practice. Yeah. So when Krishna performs, he's... Let's close it a little bit until we get too hot. Just stick some of that. Okay, so when... Krishna exhibits his pastimes when it comes to Bhoma Vrindavan. He comes to the planet Earth to exhibit his pastimes. Then those who have reached to a level of perfection through sadhana, they will take birth in that place and they will get the association of Nitya Siddhas to be more trained up in the loving service to Krishna. So the sadhana siddhas, they enter the stage of death, they take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, and they associate the Nitya Siddha devotees. So when Krishna exhibits past on earth, there's Nitya Siddhas and the sadhana siddhas. Yeah? And the example of sadhana siddhas is sages, when they used to worship Gopal, and through the mantra, the Gopal mantra, and they saw Lord Ram. And when they saw Lord Ram, they felt they remembered Krishna. And they wanted, seeing the beauty of Lord Ram, they wanted to control, they felt attraction to have the relationship as the gopis do with Krishna. So then Lord Ram or Krishna blessed them. So they took birth then as a certain group of, I forget the name of the gopis. So there's different groups of gopis come the sadhana siddha, and they take birth and they associate with the nitya siddha. Okay?
There's two categories. There are two subcategories of those who become perfect. Okay, what else is it? So Kripa Siddha. So Nitya Siddha, always perfect. Sadhana Siddha, become perfect by practice. Kripa Siddha, become perfect by causeless mercy. Yeah? What does that mean? Perfect by causeless mercy? Just by the well wishes of a devotee. Someone may be in the state of anatana vritti, but a very advanced devotee at the very high state, say prema, he can just wish that devotee to experience Krishna consciousness like himself. And just that wish, that causeless glance or wish, will automatically elevate that devotee to that stage. Causeless mercy. That's why we always beg for causeless mercy. Yeah? But we execute sadhana. It's no good just not doing sadhana and hoping to get some kripa. No, we invoke mercy from the senior devotees. We follow their orders and instructions in the hope they give us some kripa. Kripa bindu diya koro hedase prema paka tohiyo. So kripa, by kripa, some mercy. Ultimately, we need causeless mercy. We can only go so far through our own practice. We can only go so far. At some point, we need to cry for kripa, for mercy. We only go so far. Yes. What is it? Someone said
spiritual that. Spiritual masters and fellow devotees.
Yes, yes. Advanced devotees.
Because my understanding is.
Diksha gurus, siksha gurus.
No, but even serving the devotees.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes.
It goes right from the bottom up.
Yes, yes. You can do the same with like newcomers who come.
Yes.
It's a nice practice, like new people will come, you can pray Krishna, please give them your grace.
Yes.
Please Krishna. Okay. We might not have these adhikara qualification to bestow prema on them.
But we can get them started.
We can give them faith. If we have faith, we can give them faith. We can pray to Krishna to give them faith as well. Yeah? Nice, yeah?
It's a whole circle. We get it from our Guru
Maharaj,
we get it from fellow devotees,
and we pass it out.
Pass it down to distribute the overflow.
Distribute the overflow.
Because you can only give, you're right, because if you feel confident, you believe in what we are trying to, to practice, is what we want to give it to the others.
Yes. But we can only give what we got.
Yes.
As well.
But
we can, in one sense, we can give what someone else has got, like Prabhupada has prema.
Yes.
And he's put it in his books.
Yes.
So we can just hand that to him. You know? But yeah, so then we have, what's next here is. So some examples of sadhana siddha who attain perfection through practice. Let's see here. So Markandeya Rishi, he attained perfection by executing the regulative principles of service. He's mentioned in the 11th canto. There's an amazing story of Markandeya Rishi, which I love the story, but we don't have time to tell it now. But Markandeya Rishi, he was inundated in the devastation of the universe. He had benediction stroke curse that he would live for countless creations, which meant he had to live through countless destructions. So he practiced very sincerely his sadhana and he attains perfection. Another example, the picture is not here, is Narada Muni. He executed sadhana following the serving the great sages. And he attained perfection. This is here a picture of Maharaj Parikshit.
Our Acharya is a good example of that as well. No, Jagannath Das Babaji, was it? Who was completely illiterate.
Yeah, and the connection is...
By the causeless mercy of his guru, instructing him that he... became enlightened without even reading the books or anything like that.
Just by
hearing
the transcendental subject matter. So that's some sadhana siddha. I'm just trying to work out what I've done with these slides here. Okay, so sadhana siddha is Markandeya Rishi, that's the top picture there. Kripa siddha, perfect by mercy. Rupa Goswami gives two examples. Mercy by the Lord's achieved perfection by causeless mercy. One's to Dvija Patnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, they come up again. And Sukadeva Goswami actually. Just by causeless mercy. No apparent cause. Other than the Lord's well wishes upon them, attain perfection. Obviously the wives of the Brahmanas were at a certain stage. But Krishna saw that and elevated them to the highest stage just by wishing it upon them. You know, they didn't have to, attend Mangalarti every day for 10 years before. they wasn't even chanting their rounds, Not even chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna just blessed them to have unadulterated love for them, So the Dvija Patnis. Quotes their husbands who praise them. They praise their wives for receiving such. Look at your wives have become so elevated, Without in their brahmanas, they were doing all the rituals, sacrifices, being very pukka. And the wives never used to attend all the rituals, they just used to cook and not really worry too much about what their husbands are doing, Then they attain perfection, so the wives and husbands praise them. We do all these activities, all these yagnas, doing all the mantras, and the wives just cooking and milking the cows. And Sukadeva Goswami, a verse from Narada here. My dear Sukadeva, you never took the trouble to reside under the care of a spiritual master. He just left straight away upon being born. Yet you obtained such a great state of the transcendental knowledge. He didn't do severe austerities. He didn't have to. And still, how wonderful it is that you've been situated in the most perfect stage of love of Godhead. So first Sukadeva was a Brahmavadi. But then when he heard about Krishna and how merciful he is. It's particularly one verse spoken by Vyasadeva which glorifies Putana. Then he became very much enchanted by Krishna and became a bhakta. He caused us mercy, he attained the stage of love of Godhead. Yeah? And he never executed formally the activities of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Causeless mercy. Yeah. Okay, we're following so far? It's okay?
Yes.
Not as interactive as the first section, but
no,
trying to involve as best I can. Sir? Yes.
I mean, laptop charger.
Yes. Okay, so, a bit on Nitya Siddha. So, eternally perfect. So, those are never separated, never sent from Krishna. So, they're eternally perfect. Yeah. So, they're on the same platform as Krishna. And they're never touched by Maya, never will be, never have been. I'm never in the future, I've never been touched by Maya, Mavi Yasoda again, Nanda Maharaj, and others. Persons who have achieved eternal blissful life exactly on the level of Sri Krishna and who are able to attract Lord Krishna by their transcendental loving service are called eternally perfect. So eventually even the sadhana siddha, they obtain a stage of perfection and they will never go back. Yeah? They become perfect, but because they came from a practice of sadhana, they attain perfection. So it doesn't mean, so even at that stage of perfection, once having returned to the spiritual world, one never returns. Yeah? Yeah, described here, when the Supreme Lord returns to his eternal abode, his Nitya Siddha devotees return with him. As such, these ever liberated Vaishnavas are never bound by the material laws of birth and death. Yeah. So their birth or their appearance is just as transcendental as the Lord's, you know? Okay, so Nitya Siddha devotees possess 55 of Krishna's qualities. Yeah. Krishna possesses 64. A pure devotee can possess 50. A pure devotee, 50 in minute quantity.
55.
50. A pure devotee. The Nitya Siddhas, however, possess 55 qualities. It's mentioned all the ever liberated souls accompanying the Lord have the first 55 qualities without any doubt. Okay? So that was chapter 25. Going through quite well. Okay, it's 3:10. Let's have a break, yeah? What time? Come back?
10 minutes.
10 minutes is okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 8:20, yeah? Mm-hmm. Another stretch. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start now. Chapter 26. So we're sailing through here.
Hopefully it's not going too quick, and you're not able to absorb the particular points we're making. Well, so now we're going to, again, just to... understand where we are in the context. Chapters 20 to 25. Krishna or Krishna's devotees is a stimulus for ecstatic love. So chapter 26 concerns Udipan. Remember that word we brought up?
Yes, Udipan. Yes.
So these are objects related to Krishna or his devotees, which stimulate ecstatic love in his ecstatic devotees. So some of the things which give impetus for ecstatic love are Krishna's qualities, which we describe, his uncommon activities, his smile, his apparel and garlands, just what we're describing.
Yes.
His flute. Buffalo horn, his leg bells, conch shells, his footprints, and Vrindavan, Tulsi, his devotee, the festivals, Ekadashi, occasion remembering Krishna. What we mentioned. So these are stimulation or udipan for ecstatic love. Okay? So there are four categories of udipan. Yeah? Or objects that stimulate love for Krishna. One is guna, those qualities which we described a little bit. We spent a little bit chanting those glories here together. Krishna's chesta or his adventures. His prasadhana. His embellishments and attire. Embellishments means the things he wears, like the way he wears them, the things he wears. And then there's miscellaneous stimulants, yeah, which we're covering. Can't remember what they are exactly, but we'll come to that. Miscellaneous. Yeah? So this is all known as Udipan, objects that stimulate love for Krishna. So they divide it into four. Yeah? Guna, Chesta, Prasadana, and Parikina, or miscellaneous. Yeah? So, Rupa Goswami has already described guna, the Lord's qualities, when he was discussing Vishaya Alambana. Therefore, now he's going to describe, only discuss the qualities of Krishna's body. Okay? So it's still number one, but the qualities of Krishna's body. Alright, we follow? It's coming. So Krishna's qualities, Krishna's bodily qualities are four types. Okay? We follow? One is his age, his beauty, his ornaments, and interesting as well, his softness. I didn't think we'd get this far, So I haven't pre-read this just now, yesterday before this class, so bear with me a little. I'm just kind of revisiting this again after I put the PowerPoint together a few months ago. But I remember this being a very nice topic. So Krishna's age, okay? First, let's look at that. Let's go into that, yeah? Krishna's age. How it is Udipam? In what way is it Udipam? The different loving sentiments in these devotees. So, Krishna's age has three distinct periods. One, Kumara. So, 1 to 5 years old. So, Krishna's body will have certain symptoms at that age, which are the Udipam of great loving affection, for example, from Mother Yasoda. So we will describe what they are to some degree. Just giving you the categories now, yeah? Kumara. Yeah, Kumara, we own is a name for a young boy. And what's next? Yoganda. 6 to 10. Yovana, there's no Yovana for Krishna, that's the old age. Kumara, Poganda, Keshaw, 11 to 15. So these ages stimulate different relationships with Krishna.
Isn't he a bit older than that in Poganda?
He never ages beyond, I think he just on 16. So, but perhaps that might, I can't exactly recall that. Hopefully it comes to light here. Yeah, so we can understand which age group then does he exhibit affectionate, or who does he exhibit affectionate pastimes with Kumara?
Kumara, sorry, Mother Yashoda.
Yes. Described here with his parents, his affectionate pastimes with his parents are primarily exhibited with Kumara, as we can understand. Children of that age are all loved with parents. Yeah? His friendship with the cowherd boys, Poganda. And then his friendship with the gopis, 11 to 15. So Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes finish here, 15. At the end of his 15th year, Krishna goes to Mathura and Dwarka, where all the other pastimes are before. Okay, so the end of his 15th year. Okay. The description here begins with Kaishor, okay? So Kaishor again is divided into three parts, okay? So early adolescence, 11 to 12. Madhya, 13 to 14, Amcha, 15. Yeah. So from 11 to 12, at this age, the lust of his body becomes interesting, becomes so bright that sometimes, yeah, that it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. This thing. So this age, Adya, 11 to 12, there's a reddish border around his eyes and a growth of soft hair around his body. Yeah? So, This picture I think is a little bit older and difficult to tell. But. So one gopi mentions describing the Ajna Kishora age of Krishna. This is a gopi named Kundalata. My dear friend, I have just seen an extraordinary beauty appearing in a person of Krishna. His blackish bodily hue appears just like an Indra Nila jewel. There are reddish signs on his eyes, and small soft hairs are coming out of his body. The appearance of these symptoms has made him extraordinarily beautiful. Gopis are beginning, well, they're already attracted to Krishna, but they're more attracted now in the conjugal mood. So that
was. It's funny that this is like redness around his eyes, because, you know, we say even with Balaram, for example, seeing red is, you know, being angry.
But that's a different type there, it's a different context there. But this red is not because he's angry, it's just he's eternal. That is going through this pastime of Kumara, what's the next one? Kuganda and Kishore. At least in Bombay Vrindavan. Yeah? Bombay Vrindavan. So his body will be different and attracts different. The devotees, according to Melaruin, they become attracted in different ways. This is the middle one. What's the middle one? That's the middle Kishore.
Yeah. That's the last one.
What's the age?
11 to 12. 1 to 5, 6
no,
to
no,
10.
No, no, no.
11 to 12 is 30. Oh, yeah. Madhyam and Ante.
Yeah. So this is a well-known verse. Peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue kanika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vajayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers. As he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the mark of his footprints, he filled the holes of his flute, the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Is the verse there? The verse is not there, no? So this is, Rupa Goswami gives his verse here. So this particular verse, this is known as a favorite amongst Vaishnavas. Of all described in the Bhagavatam, of the verses describing the beauty of Krishna, this particular verse is celebrated to be the favorite amongst Vaishnavas.
You know, they sing in Vrindavan, if you go to the far out places, they sing this, you know.
He becomes the
Dhoti Pitangari Dhoti.
Yeah.
The people feather.
There's a whole chapter on this, because this verse is from.
Yeah. They still sing it.
Yeah. So, he wears a. It's a meditation from the gopis, actually. The gopis are meditating because they see Krishna. Normally the meditation begins at Krishna's feet, but the gopis go straight to his jewel-like face. Yeah. So he wears a peacock ornament upon his head, blue kanika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as the gold, and the Vajayanti garland is made, if I remember rightly, of five different flowers. Also contains some Tulsi Manjaris there as well.
In the garden?
Yeah. It comes down to his ankle.
That's known as the Vaijayanti garland. So he said that he's foremost the greatest of dancers. So when someone goes on stage as a dancer, they get all dressed up, no? So Krishna would get me all dressed up like that. All dressed up. Fancy dress, you know? Not fancy as a joking dress, but really nice dress. So in that mood he's got peacock feather, blue kanika flowers in his ears, garland, dhoti like gold, this garland swinging.
Huh? A dandy.
A dandy. And the Gopis said, then he enters the forest of Vrindavan and he beautifies it with the marks of his footprint. And he fills the flute with the nectar of his lips. So he's going to go and herd the cows. And the Gopis are remembering that vision. And the cowherd boys, while he's going out, they're all singing his glories, all jumping up and down. So that's a nice meditation. Then we have Madhya Kaishora, 13 to 14. So Krishna's body now manifests in a more developed way. Again, that verse we started with, his thighs were challenging the trunks of trees, his rising chest trying to come with peace talks with doors. Of jewels. His chest is trying to make peace talks with doors and jewels. And his two arms are minimizing the value of bolts found on doors. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of Krishna? Of these features of Krishna? The beauty of these features of Krishna? Who can do it? How's it possible, Sarah? Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? That's the Madhya Kaishora, 13 to 14. Yeah, the special beauty of Krishna's body was his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world-enchanting songs. These are the special features of this age. At this age, Krishna enjoyed the Rasleela, exhibiting his power of joking with the cowherd girls and enjoying their company in the bushes of the gardens by the banks of the Yamuna. This is 13, 14. Yeah? So Krishna's Kaishora age now. We started with the... No, this is Krishna Kaishora age now. Again, this is different. What's Kaishora age? Just remind me. Did you take notes?
Yeah, 14 to 15.
14 to 15. Okay. So,
Kaishora is early adolescence, 11 to 12.
Okay. So this again is divided. Adya Kaishora, beautiful body, luster. Oh, this is just recapping what we've done. Okay. Reddish edges around the eyes, soft blue body, hairs. Madhya. This is recapping what we just did. Yeah. Mild smiling, restless eyes, rolling, chanting, flute songs, Rasleela, Anti Kaishora, all the above qualities reach full maturity. Okay. That's Krishna's Kaishora age. Navayovanam, the age of 16. Navayovanam. So this age, he continually manifests that age throughout the remainder of his pastimes. Yeah? And as another yogini, eternal youth. Krishna was on the planet for 124 years. So for that whole time, he exhibited the form of another yogini, eternal youth. Nice to spend the whole day speaking about Krishna, isn't it?
Yes.
So many other things we get distracted by. This. So
So Krishna's beauty now, describe that bit. Perhaps you can share the reading of it. Would you like to read this a little?
O Krishna, your face with long eyes. O Krishna, your face with long eyes, your broad chest like an emerald riverbed, your two arms like pillars, your graceful sides, narrow waist, and hips attractive with ever-increasing waves of sweetness. Which hearts of the lotus-eyed gopis will not be stolen by these features? It's like the ultimate Romeo and Juliet.
This is the original.
Yeah.
You can read this one.
The two earrings, another one of those to contrast in, is one cannot at all function as ornaments to enhance his beauty. Rather, those ornaments all become decorated by his body and help us increase their beauty.
Okay. So we mentioned that before. Yes. Krishna's particular name, Bhushana, Bhushana, I forget now. So his ornaments, yeah, they were beautified by Krishna. We have that experience to some degree. I've had that experience where, you know, sometimes I dress Krishna.
Yes.
I mentioned it before, I might have. Dressing Krishna. And sometimes we just go downstairs and the person, like Vimala, organizes the garland, so she writes down what outfit we're going to wear today. I go downstairs, I see the number outfit, I'm not inspired by the outfit. It's just, I don't mind, it's not inspired every time. There's one outfit, it does it to me every time. It's anniversary red. It looks like a Hindu wedding dress, you know. And it's like I'm dressing that outfit. But by the time I put it on, it looks beautiful. Every time. Once I finish dressing, and as I'm dressing, and then the outfit looks beautiful. Once it's on Krishna, it's like, wow, that's a really great outfit. My mind completely changes. But when I'm holding it up and Krishna's not wearing it. But then when Krishna's wearing it, wow! Remember, that's a great outfit. Yeah, it's a fact, you know. Rupa Goswami only briefly describes Krishna's ornaments. There's an extensive description in upcoming sections, you know. The books of the Goswamis, there's other books by Rupa Goswami and others, they go into great detail. I don't know if the only devotees saw, I shared a description of the flower decorations of Krishna. I shared it on the garden group. You read that? On the group? So then, so Krishna's softness.
A person is called mild. Come
on. You can read, good way, you can see.
A person is called mild when he cannot bear the touch of the most soft thing. It is described that every part of Krishna's
body
was so soft that even at the touch of a newly grown leaf, the color of the touched part of his skin will change.
Okay, yes. So soft, just touch it. Yeah. A person is called mild when he cannot bear the touch of a most soft thing. Yeah. So how soft is that? You touch it, and it changes color.
Feather would make an imprint.
Yeah, feather would make an imprint. Softness, you know?
Yes.
That's why the gopis would become Mother Yasoda and others become so disturbed.
Yes.
That Krishna would not wear shoes. That's why the gopis, they want to put Krishna's delicate feet because they're so soft. They want to put them on their breasts. And they can't bear the thought of Krishna walking on the earth. You know? Rather than serve Krishna, they're soft. Better put Krishna. They're so soft.
I don't know if you heard this, when Krishna was going to take the cows for the first time,
yeah.
And the cows realized that Krishna was going to come the next day, they started beating with their hoofs over stones.
Really?
Yes. And that's why the for softening it. And that's why Vraj and Vraj is so important for the cat.
You heard that in Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan. I mean, I see this. He got into KC only because of the pastimes. I would sit down with my mother for a whole month doing nothing else but listening to the pastime.
Right.
And it really gets to you.
That's the idea. That's hopefully.
And that there have been times where, even today, I'm, because of my mom, you know, quite a few people there, no one. You listen to them. Honestly, not exaggerating, but you cry. You cry because of the love that he shows, the kindness that he shows. And you feel, really? I mean, then you feel, honestly, I meet cats out there.
You get set food, you know, they're called the old ladies come in, and then they talk about Krishna. Even they're like gopis, they really talk about Krishna, they sing about Krishna.
That's the idea, that's why now you hear about Krishna.
Yeah.
You can just speak about Krishna directly. Krishna Katha.
I think that's one of the nicest things that I look forward to whenever I'm in Vrindavan. Just to sit up and listen to them.
Krishna Katha.
And just listening to them. Listening to them. I can spend the whole day, not even bothering me, you know, nothing to eat, nothing to drink. And then we. Yes.
Yes.
Seven times.
But normally, that's sort of pastime.
But their love actually oozes out, like it's actually a real, I can't describe it, but it's something really, I mean, I get amazed just looking at them. And they use the local words, Lala is doing this and Lali is doing that. So that puts even more nectar into the thing.
Special devotees, no?
Yes.
The association. Let's see what comes up. Krishna's adventures. So he's finished extensive description of Krishna's qualities. Okay. So now he's describing now moving to Krishna's adventures. So he briefly mentions Krishna's adventures. He mentions such as Rasleela, Dustavhada, slaying the wicked. Yeah. Is this Devasura?
Yes.
Devasura. Krishna's endeavors are always bent towards arranging a rest dance, as well as towards killing the demons in the forest of Vrindavan. So these adventures are stimulus. This is a stimulus for devotees' love for Krishna. To hear about Krishna's killing Devasura, his dancing pastimes. And they're a stimulus for love of Krishna. So how are we going to get love for Krishna? By hearing about Krishna's pastimes. Even if we may not feel ecstatic love, it helps to prepare the heart to feel ecstatic love. So Krishna's adventures, Krishna's attire. So this Udipan, again, it has three categories. Krishna's dress, his akalpa, natural decorations, and his madana, jewels and ornaments. Yeah. So looking closely at more his dress, so there's different types of dress which invoke this affection and love for Krishna. One is called yuga. So it's two-piece outfit, just upper and lower garments. Sometimes Krishna dresses just like that. No chadar, just upper and lower garments.
He was dressed like that the other day.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I was sent a picture, I saw that. Yes, from the very dress. No, he describes here as it's a two piece outfit and lower garments. It refers to a lower cloth wrapped around the waist and an upper short.
Yes.
Just a short. So a lower cloth wrapped around his waist and an upper short. What is your look? Next one is Chatuska. This is a four piece outfit. When I was studying this, I was thinking, keep this in mind when we're designing outfits. You know? They all have different names. The outfits all have different names. You
know? So what's the four-piece outfit?
Even Krishna's jewels have different names. They're all personalities, you know. Different names. Like so Chatuska. So this is a four-piece. There's a shirt, like turban, sash, and lower cloth going down. Sometimes includes a top cloth. So a four-piece outfit. Then there's by Bhuyishta. Festival, elaborate. There's a lot of festival. Many garments, you know? Like we dress Krishna on Janmashtami. You could say that is Bhuyishta, elaborate festival outfit.
Yes.
Many garlands, many garments. Yeah. Often there's, and they're in different colors, orange, red, yellow, and other colors. Multicolor. Sometimes Krishna dresses in multicolor outfit, just like we see on the altar.
Yes.
Dressing, turban, multicolor turban going on. Mostly we dress Krishna like this, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Yishta. So Prabhupada gives a general, gives a description of the four-piece outfit. Generally there are four kinds of garments on the body of Krishna. The shirt, turban, belt, and wearing garments. In Vrindavan he used to put on reddish garments with a golden shirt on his body and an orange-coloured turban on his head. Mention that, Bhaktivinoda can design an outfit like that, no? Reddish garment, golden shirt on his body, orange turban, orange coloured turban on his head, red garments, golden shirt, orange turban. Keep that in mind, don't you? Okay, what's next? Okay, the enemy of Kamsa, smiling in great joy, wearing a pink dhoti here, orange turban, an excellent vest of shining gold, and multicolored sash creates joy in us. So just the residents of Vrindavan, this is all they think about.
Yes.
There's no other thoughts that is in their mind. They're always thinking that in the mind, Krishna's beauty, his ornaments, his pastimes, his qualities, his flute playing, they all completely submerges them. Krishna submerges the minds of the Rajpasis in all these different aspects of his palo. You know? He's dressed wonderfully to enchant their mind. Then he exhibits all these wonderful, charming pastimes to further enchant their mind. Just like we read about the boat pastime here. Can you imagine how much they were speaking about that afterwards and enjoying it,
yeah.
Thinking about it, you know, all the pastimes. Krishna stealing the butter and stealing the gopa's dress and things like that. Just absorbing, they said, they think of nothing else but Krishna. So, a kalpa, natural decorations. So he has six types of natural decorations. Kesha Banda, his hairstyle. There's different hairstyles. Sometimes Krishna does top knot there.
Yes.
Why don't we ever dress him like that? Top knot or something like that?
Are we
have done in the past. But our mood, according to Prabhupada in dressing, is awe and reverence. So it has to show that more. That's why crown and big ornaments and things like that. Some temples you see, they dress more in a simple mood, but actually Prabhupada's direction in our temples is to dress in a mood of awe and reverence. You know? So that's why you don't see it so often. Occasionally we might do it, but only occasionally. So, a labor, ornaments, smeared ointments, smeared on his body. Mala, flower garlands. Chitra, face painting. Visheshata, decorative tilak. And Kevi Padma, that's the name for his toy lotus. He twirls a toy lotus. So Prabhupada summarizes the list given here. He mentions a kalpa refers to the texture of Krishna's hair, his nicely dressed body anointed with sandalwood pulp, yeah, and decorated with flower garlands, his tilak and his chewing pan. So Rupa Goswami mentions Krishna's hair was sometimes decorated with flowers placed in the middle of his head, or else it was reaching down to his back. His hair down to his back.
I asked her before why we don't do gopi dots on Krishna. Apparently it's really difficult to remove.
Well, there's a danger of it staining white deities, and also we don't do that. We have done it before, but we don't want to take the chance with staining, you know. So tying their hair consists of tying their hair at the back of the neck, binding flowers in the hair in a top knot, in a knot at the top, or braiding the hair. And Krishna has his hair braided sometimes. Seamless. I think that's what it means. Ointments, sandalwood pulp. Sometimes it appears white. Sometimes we mix with saffron, yeah? It appears yellow. There are different types of garlands. And here, the Vaijayanti garland is made with five different flowers, long enough to touch his knees or feet. There are three types of garland. Vaijayanti, a jewel garland, and a forest garland. I'm not too sure what a jewel garland would be. It's flowers with jewels sewn in it. We don't know. Anyone know? They may extend over his chest, serve as a chaplet around the top knot, or hang from the neck downwards. Just like we make extra garlands, you know? So face painting, again done with sandalwood pulp, sometimes on the body, sometimes see these on deities. Radhe Shyam Hanuman always paints it there. Beautiful. In Vrindavan as well, you see that. There's Krishna. Krishna up top. One gopi addressed her friend and began to praise the bodily features of Krishna. She praised his blackish complexion, here is whitish, the reddish color of chewing pan, enhancing his beauty hundreds of times, the curling hair on his head, the kumkum red spots on his body, and the tilak on his forehead. Now his jewels and ornaments
a kirita, crown. Kundala means earring. Hara, necklace. Chatusiki, another type of necklace. Palaya, bracelet. Angulikyaka, ring. Kuria, armlet. And Nupura, which is Nupura, ankle bells.
What is it?
Ankle bells. So all these ornaments stimulate ecstatic love in his devotees. Yeah? Everything about Krishna, his form, his ornaments, the garland, everything just is in it, is an udipam for ecstatic love. Vanamali is a name, means one who decorates himself with flowers from the forest. That's the name of Krishna, yeah? Flower crowns, flower bracelets. Perhaps next week I'll share with you this description of all the names and all the different earrings that Krishna wears and things like that. It's very sweet. So Krishna was dressed like this not only in Vrindavan but also in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Apparently, says here, seeing such colourful dress and the garlands of different flowers, some great sages prayed, Lord Krishna is going to the battlefield of Krishna, not to fight, but to grace all his devotees with his presence. So I never knew that Krishna was dressed as Vanamali of Kurukshetra. That's what it says here. Interesting. Okay. 25 minutes left of Krishna Gata. Yeah, turn it going. It's going to take one second. Okay. Can we close the window again in 3 minutes?
Yes.
I should have brought a microphone, isn't it?
I can set up a microphone.
Okay, there's only three of us sitting. Addis. Okay, Father Mali, you speak quietly. Okay, we already read that, yeah? Mm-hmm. So now, we're going to just. Now, a little description on. There are three types of flutes. Sometimes I read different descriptions elsewhere, but Venu is 12 fingers long. Yeah? So 12 fingers long. And it's called Pavika. Venu. Pavika. A particular flute is called Pavika. Murali. Sometimes Murli is another word of Murali. Murli. Murali. So two hands long with a hole at the end and four holes for producing sounds. So Krishna has different flutes. Yeah? So one is the Venu, 12 fingers long. Doesn't say how many holes it has here. But the Murali is two hands long with a hole at the end and four holes for producing sounds. And Vamshika, 17 fingers long, or 12.75 inches to be exact, with 9 holes. So we have different flutes we give Krishna here. Mm-hmm. Silver, gold. When space between the mouth hole and the first hole for notes is 10 fingers, okay, when space between the mouth hole. See, you can get lost in just describing so detailed. Instead, we get lost in, you know, people get absorbed in mundane things, cricket and all the details of the news and the politicians and Brexit and this and Donald Trump that and
Mr. Boris this and Mr. You know, such a waste of valuable time. So much wonder about Krishna.
But what the difference is, they're lying. This is the truth, what we're reading.
Yeah. Their bodies are temporary, they're so good. So, when the space between the mouth hole and the first hole for notes is 10 fingers, okay, the vamsi is called Mahananda, great delight. So it produces a certain sound. And Samohini means the bewitcher. So
yes,
a particular sound comes out when you play. Remember that we read about the Venu Gita?
Yeah.
The Venu and the camphor. So yeah, the bewitcher. If the space between the mouth, if the space is 12 fingers, the other one was 10 fingers,
yeah,
if it's 12 fingers, the vamsi is called Akashini, the attractor. If the space is 14 fingers, the vamsi is called Anandini, the bliss giver. So there's probably certain flutes Krishna pulls out to call the gopis. Actually, when Krishna blows his flute, then a different message goes to different devotees. So the vamsi is called Anandini when it's 14 fingers from the mouthpiece. So the Anandini, for your information, is the favourite amongst the cowherds. And it's also called Vamsuli. So these vamsis are made of jewels. Some of them are made of jewels. Some are gold and some are just bamboo. Yeah?
Nandini.
The vamsis are the Anandini. A-N-A-N-D-I-N-I. The Anandini. That's apparently here described. It's a favourite amongst the covered people. Describe. And that's called Vamsuli. So just imagine Krishna has a he has a wardrobe, just like downstairs we have Krishna's wardrobe. Krishna has there, everything's kept very nicely though. We try to keep things nicely but we struggle. Sometimes that's what I try and tell the pujaris, look, imagine this is, it's Krishna, everything, we put back everything very neat. Can you imagine what Krishna's jewelry cupboard looks like? Everything's nice and neat, everything's nice, arranged nicely. Unfortunately, pujaris are too much in rush to just throw everything in.
Remember how we did it in Kiev? How beautifully we packed, they all packed everything.
But that stuff is designed like that, so you can't miss it.
How's it designed? Tell me. Interesting. Interesting.
You know the earrings, say, it's designed in that way that you just put them in in between the slots so they don't go missing.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is this?
In Kiev.
Oh,
Kiev.
And also all the big jewelry.
Do you have pictures and anything?
We should have done that. And all the big jewelry, people, they're in these wood bags that they call, you know, like the freedom bags.
Mm.
Everything is packed. When we change them, we have to pack everything. And all the earrings.
I'm interested in that. Did you have the contact of anyone there?
Yes.
Could you ask him to send some pictures and send me how they store their jewelry?
Yeah.
So I'm interested to improve what we have.
Because here they just take it off and put it.
Yeah.
You lose it here. But there is all labeled and, you know, like you slip them in so they don't go missing.
Like you would get earrings in a box. So it's something like that.
Please,
it's
if you could.
Easy to see, to take out, it's easy.
And to put it back as well.
Okay, if you could get in touch, just take some pictures of their storage for their jewelry.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah.
And when they were trusting, they were using clips, not pins. Little.
I know, they're famous for that. That's
tiny clips.
They don't use pins at all.
No pins.
But what surprised me was that
Even the kids doing a special thing.
Radha Madhava was just 1 year old for this
installation.
He went and dresses that they had was unbelievable, and they make it themselves.
They stitch their own.
Yeah, the Shinkavasha, the Deity Worship Minister, is always encouraging us and citing Kiev as an example of not use. He's trying to encourage us not to use pins.
Shanta doesn't use it.
Yeah.
She went there and she learned it.
That's why it's falling all over the place.
All due
respect.
No, okay.
Anyway, I'm trying to learn. So, okay, this is the final slide in this chapter. So a wild buffalo horn with gold covering at both ends and jewel inlay in the middle. We're missing the jewel inlay. This is called Mandra Ghosha, which means rumbling thunder. Mandra Ghosha. So when Krishna leaves from the village to go and herd cows, there's the whole pastime where the whole village comes to where he's leaving, and they all come to see him off, and they're feeling great love and affection. Then when Krishna's going in the distance, they're watching, and then he blows his Mandra Ghosha, and this portrays the message, I'm coming back, don't worry. He blows he blows his buffalo horn, it's known as rumbling thunder. So, there's a quote here. It is said that Talavali, a gopi, was bitten by the most venomous snake of Krishna's flute. Then, in order to neutralize the poison's effect, she drank the milk produced by the buffalo horn in the hand of Krishna. But instead of decreasing the poison's effect, it increased 1,000 times. The gopi was thus put into the most miserable poison condition. It's not really misery, it's ecstasy. Okay? So I'm just gonna... That was chapter...
25.
Let's
see.
26.
No, the next is... Is it
26? 26.
Yeah,
26. Hmm?
Yeah.
No, that was 25, and no, I've done a mistake there. That was 25 and 26.
Yeah.
That was both chapters.
Yeah.
I didn't put the chapter change, but that was both chapters. Yeah. So let me look here. Got some. Okay, so that finishes the Southern Ocean. So we swim around in the Southern Ocean.
Yes.
You know? So the next is the have a little preview. I'm thinking it might end. Is it okay?
Yes.
And then we can start next week with the next ocean. Yes. Which is, that was 25 and 26, yeah?
Yeah.
So next week, I'll give a little preview. If it comes up. Okay, this is what we're have a look at next week, okay? Vyabhichari Bhava. So look at expressions of love of Krishna. So a more technical term, but we'll try and explain that so we can understand as much as possible.
It's coming from the screen.
Huh? Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Chari Bhava. This is another book. This is another. This is another book pastime for you. This is book pastime. Beautiful picture, no? So expressions of love for Krishna. Yeah. So Vijayavali Bhava is an emotional experience that results from intensified affection for Krishna and serves to embellish and further that stimulation. So 33 types, it is a bit technical, but humility, fatigue, additional symptoms. Anyway, so we continue the Krishna Katha.
Yes.
Just reminding myself, because I haven't visited this for some time, I'll read for it next week to be prepared. Okay. Okay, is that okay?
Yes,
can you stop now? Thank you for your kind attention.
Thank you.
And if those who didn't come this week, hopefully they might be able to come next week, but you can try and. They've missed quite a lot, but still, we've got quite a lot. We'll get through quite a lot next week, so it should be good.
You can dive into any of the waves.
Yeah, you can dive into any of the waves. Okay. Jai Shri Gopal Ki.